The season of Advent is about waiting. It was waiting for years and years for the promised Messiah to come, and now we're waiting to celebrate Christmas, and we're also waiting for the time in which Christ returns. So Advent is time of waiting. Now, being the father of four daughters, I know a little bit about waiting. I can't tell you how many gallons of fuel that I have burned through waiting in the car for one of them who said, "I'll be right there." And when they were younger, I can't tell you how many years I spent waiting outside of dressing rooms and rest rooms, waiting for them to emerge. In fact, you may have noticed in some of the stores, there's a chair right outside the fitting room. The store didn't put that in. No, one dad got so bored, he drove to IKEA, bought a chair, assembled it, put it there, and waited another half hour. So I know a little bit about waiting. But I can't hold a candle to Abraham. Abraham knows what it means to wait. God promises him at an early age that he's going to make him into a great nation. His descendants will be more numerous than the stars of the sky. Now, Abraham has everything. Abraham has got some livestock, he has people working for him, he has a beautiful wife, he's wealthy, he's got everything, except he has no kids. So how is he going to be the father of this great nation when he doesn't have any children? And then, to add insult to injury, God, he names him from Abram to Abraham, and Abraham means father of many. But he didn't have any kids. And then when he was 75 years old, God says, "All right, you and Sarah, you're going to have a bouncing baby boy." 25 years later, when he's 100, finally Isaac comes on the scene. So Abraham, he knows about waiting. But as we discovered in the reading this morning, Abraham also knows about testing. Isaac has grown up, he's a young man, and Abraham has to hear these haunting words. God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." One can only imagine the thoughts and the feelings of Abraham at that moment. My guess is his heart jumped into his throat. Panic filled his whole body. Tears probably flowed from his eyes. I suspect you have felt that way on some occasion in your life when the doctor said it's inoperable. When your son or daughter is in the clutches of addiction, when your loved one, because of dementia, doesn't know you anymore, you probably know at least a little bit about how Abraham felt. You see, Abraham knew about waiting, but he knew about testing too, and he knew about tough times in life. Advent is about waiting, but Advent also is about testing. Because for whatever reason, this time of year sort of magnifies all of those feelings. Whether you're going through something right now or you're remembering back, it magnifies all those feelings and all of that pain. So Advent's about waiting, but Advent's about testing as well. So this morning, let's learn from Abraham, what does it mean to be in a time of testing, time of testing. And what we discover is that during a time of testing, we find out that God prepares us. He prepares us for the test. He gets us ready for the test. Take a look at Abraham. Chapter 22, verse 1, it says this, "After these things, God tested Abraham." Well, after what things? It's certainly not just chapter 21 that he's talking about, because chapter 21 is just some covenant that he makes with Abimelech. So it must go deeper than that. What I really believe that after these things means that Abraham's entire life has led up to this moment. Everything that has happened in the past has led up to this, the what I would call the ultimate testing of his faith. So Abraham, when he was a young man, God comes to him and says, I want you to leave your homeland. I want to leave all of your family behind. And you're going to go to a land, a great land, that I'm going to give you. The only problem is I'm not going to tell you where it's at. I'm going to point you in the right direction. And Abraham packed up everything that he did, and he headed off in that direction, and God blessed him. And his wealth grew, and his livestock grew. And then God protected him from the enemies that were around him. And then God promised him a son. And yeah, he waited a long time, but then miraculously at 100, Isaac is born. See, God has been preparing him for this moment. God is showing himself to be faithful throughout all the years and showing to Abraham the amount of trust and faith that he has in God. So God prepares us for the test. God has prepared you for the test. You see, first of all, God called you in the waters of baptism, as he did Reagan just a few moments ago, and instilled faith in his heart and said, he's now my child. So also he says to you, in the waters of baptism, you're his child. And then he feeds your faith with his word and with his sacrament, building you up stronger, more confident in your faith. And no doubt, you can look back on your life and you can see previous trials, previous challenges that you've had to go through. Maybe it was financial. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was emotional. Maybe it was something medical. And at the time, you thought, I'm never going to make it through this. How in the world can I face another day? But yet you did. And now when you look back, you can see the hand of God with you at every moment and every step along the way. And so you see God's faithfulness, and now you see your own faith in God. And so he prepares you for that moment so that you're ready for the test. And then we find out from Abraham that there's a purpose of the test. Now, this one's the most important one to me, because I just can't deal with the fact that things just happen in my life for no particular reason and has no point to it. Well, God says that's not true, that there is a point and the purpose to everything that happens in my life. In fact, even the testing that happens in life, there's a point and there's a purpose to that. Now, that doesn't stop you, though, from wondering why. And I got to believe Abraham asked why. When God asked him to do this, the ultimate test, he has to ask the question, why? Why now? Why this? Why me? Haven't you asked those questions? Abraham must have asked that question. He had to say, why now? After all these years and all that waiting, and why this? My son? It could be anything else, God, but don't ask for my son. And by the way, why me? Haven't I been faithful? Haven't I done what you've asked me to do? Abraham had to ask the question, why? Well, the good news is there is an answer to that question, that there is a purpose to what happens in our life, and the purpose is known and unknown. What I mean by that is that some things we can look back and we say, oh, I see what God was doing there. I know what he was accomplishing. But then there's a whole lot that we don't know. Case in point is Abraham. So if we go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 12, this is after the angel stops him from taking his son's life. The angel says this, for now I know that you fear God. That was just as much a statement for Abraham as it was for God, right? So God is saying, I've pushed you to the limit, but look what you've done, Abraham. Look how you faced the test. Abraham was a changed man after that event. He was a changed man because he could say to himself, I trusted God even when I wasn't sure, and I'm sure that his hand was trembling, right? But he trusted God, and he had more courage and more strength than he thought that he had. He was a changed man. So you can say, all right, I see the purpose of the test. That's the known part of it. But think about how much Abraham didn't know. Abraham didn't know that this was a foreshadowing of the sacrifice of Jesus. You can't deny how the two of them line up. Abraham, take your only son whom you love and sacrifice him. Sounds a lot like John 3:16 to me. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only beloved son, right, and sacrificed him for us. It's a three-day journey to the mountain. Jesus is in the grave for 3 days. A part that we didn't read of the story is when they're going up the mountain, they take the wood that's going to be the altar, which eventually that's where Isaac will be sacrificed, and they put it on the back of Isaac. Isaac carries up the mountain his own means of death. Jesus carried his cross to Calvary. I mean, you can see it right after another. Here's a foreshadow. Abraham knew nothing of that. But we, looking back and generations before us, we can connect the dots and see how God made a promise to Adam and Eve. He's going to build a nation out of Abraham, and from Abraham will come the Messiah, and he foreshadows for us the sacrifice of the Messiah. God's got a plan. God knows what he's doing. See, Abraham isn't privy to God's plan, and neither are you, and neither am I. So there's known reasons why things happen, and there's a whole lot of unknown. You see, there's a purpose of what happens in your life as well. There's the known and the unknown. Scripture speaks to the known. So what is God doing when he puts challenges in our lives, when we have times of testing for us? Well, let's take a look at James chapter 1, verse 3. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. It gives you perseverance in things. Or we go to the book of Romans chapter 5. Not only that, he says, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. You see, God is at work in us, right? That there is a purpose, there is a point to what's happening because he's going to make us stronger. You can look back at the challenges that you've faced and gotten through that, and you can see, you know what? My resolve is stronger. I'm a changed person. I'm a stronger person. And my faith and my commitment to God is deeper than what it was before. That's the known part of it. But there's also the unknown part of it. What else did God do during that time? See, I always go to Romans 8:28 because that gives me great comfort. And it says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good. So everything that's happening in my life, God is using. So God's got this plan all laid out. I've got just a little sliver of it. So when I go through some of those tough times, I know he's making me stronger, but what I don't know is how many lives did he touch? How many lives has he touched through you because of the way that you faced a challenge, because of your strength, because of your faith, because of your resolve? How many other lives were changed that you don't even know about? There's a purpose. There's a purpose and a point even during times of testing. Okay, finally in testing, there's provision for the test. God gives us exactly what we need when we need it. Case in point is Abraham. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took, and he offered that up as the sacrifice. God provided the sacrifice. Isaac was never to be the sacrifice. God would never ask for a human sacrifice. It was a test of Abraham. So when the moment came, as Abraham had said to his son going up the mountain, God provided the sacrifice that they needed. He provided the sacrifice then, and he'd provide the sacrifice in the future. You see, God provides for us as well. And what he provides for us is the ultimate sacrifice. Isaac couldn't be the sacrifice for mankind. Isaac falls under the same judgment as we do. He shares the same sin that we have. It would have to be a different son of Abraham. We'd have to go generations down so that the son of Abraham would also be the son of Mary, but not of Joseph. For he would be the son of God. Only the God-man could be the perfect sacrifice. It wasn't a ram that was offered, but it was the Lamb of God that was offered on the cross. And there he lays down his life for us, and through his blood, our sins are forgiven and our relationship is restored to God. God provided exactly what we needed, exactly when we needed. But God doesn't stop there. God also provides for us in this life when we're facing challenges at testing times. Let's go back to the book of Romans, chapter 8 again. It says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" If God was willing to give his son for you, then you tell me what he won't do for you. And there's a great promise that is in 1 Corinthians. It says in verse 13, "No temptation," or that can be translated, "no testing. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your ability. But with the testing, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." No testing is overtaking you that isn't common, and he won't allow you to be tested beyond what you can stand. Now, I'll give you this. His idea of how much I can take and mine are vastly different. But I have his promise. And his promise is that I will not be tested beyond my ability. And his promise is that he'll provide a way out. He'll provide an escape for me. So God gives us exactly what we need when we need it, especially during times of testing. And sometimes Advent is a time of testing. Whether it's something you're going through right now, something you're facing, some challenge in your life, or it's the memory, a memory of a challenging time, or it's the fact that you're facing the holidays without someone that you love. It's challenging times. Those are testing times. But God, he's prepared you for this. There's a purpose. There's a point, known and unknown. And he'll give you what you need just when you need it. Amen. Would you please stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you for the plan that you have laid out and still yet is being played out in our lives. Even though we don't see it, we trust it and we believe in you. Father, I pray for those who might be going through a time of testing right now. If they have a challenge in their life, I ask that they would look to you. I pray that you would move your spirit to fill their heart and their lives with your love and compassion. And give them strength they didn't know they had. Give them comfort they didn't know was possible. And pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.